This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers. Aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura. Enjoy.
That was Kylie Knox.
That was very lovely. She had a beautiful voice.
What are you trying to say? That my voice sucks?
God, you're sensitive.
No.
So let me quell your fear. It is confirmed. Can I quell and confirm a fear at the same time?
Yeah.
To quell your fear is not knowing, but it is also confirmed
that
you have a bad voice.
Uh-huh.
And I disrespect you as a guy, not just as a singer, but as a man.
I disrespect you as a guy.
Yeah.
As a guy, I disrespect you. As a coworker, I respect you.
I do.
And as a citizen, I inspect you.
Whoa. Move over.
This is If I Were You, the only advice podcast on the interweb, hosted by me,
ouch,
Amir.
And I'm the pinch. And I help from time to time.
He's back.
That's right.
You're embracing the pinch.
Some might say the pinch never left. I'm holding the microphone in an actual claw right now.
Yeah, it's sliding in and out of your claw hand.
Yeah, I like the nickname so much that I decided to turn myself into a lobster crab man type of guy.
I see that. Yeah, you got sunburnt, I think.
The tough thing was convincing a doctor to replace my limbs with that of a crustacean.
Of course.
Yes, of course.
I see you're slowly applying a exoskeleton made out of other people's shells. I
could nary find a surgeon to do it, so I had to ask a vagrant.
Could you ask a doctor to do whatever he wants? Like, could I get my leg amputated if I wanted?
No.
Actually, a doctor will not do that if I paid him.
Just for fun?
If I paid him $1 million, can I have my leg amputated?
They'll take off your nose and replace it with a new one.
Yeah.
Like, hey, I'd like a new leg. Then they chop it off. You're like, just kidding.
Sucker.
Gotcha, loser. You hop away.
There's blood slipping.
There goes the iPhone.
And now the magical moment where you find out if it's cracked or not.
And it is.
Is it?
No.
All
right. No. The pinch don't crack his phone. Ass.
Shit. So you're saying if you had all the money in the world, you couldn't pay for quote-unquote cosmetic surgery?
Dog, if you had all the money in the world, you could do whatever the fuck you want, all right? I got 400 bucks in my bank account, and I feel invincible.
Yeah.
Yeah, all you need is a little bit of scratch, and you're good to go.
Could a billionaire get a tail? Could a billionaire fashion a tail?
I'll do you one better. Does a billionaire already have a tail?
Is that why he's so rich?
I couldn't have been the first guy to think of this.
Of course you are. Does a billionaire have a tail? Yeah. Who else would have thought of that?
Excuse me. Any questions? You said any questions, and I do have one. Do billionaires have tails?
I meant history questions. This is a history class. So yes. I said.
Historically speaking, has a billionaire ever had a tail?
Now, do you have any questions about the French and Indian War?
I should. Has a French billionaire ever had a tail?
He has. Yes, he's had a tail.
Tight.
Yeah, like I guess you can remove fat from your thigh and fashion it into like some sort of rod, fat rod.
Well, I guess as long as it's not like damaging your health, maybe. I don't know. That's the true answer, man. The true answer to every question I've ever been asked is I don't know for sure.
And also, as long as we're on the subject of what billionaires do, does a billionaire go to the dentist? Can you be at the dentist and you just have a billionaire? Or like when you're that rich, does it just come to you?
I think it depends, yeah. I think
a dentist can come to
you? I bet some billionaires are like, I'm humble, I'm cool, I'm going to go to my old dentist, the one I went to before I made any money.
Yeah, before I only had $100 million. Now I have $1,000 million.
I'm sure billionaires have dentists just visit them, do home visits. I think regular rich people. I don't think you have to have $1 billion to have like a.
But it requires like X-ray chairs, specific equipment and instruments.
At that point you have to come in, but you probably have access to like a really, really nice dentist.
Oh,
like a really nice office. So maybe you get like a visit for the checkup.
Yeah.
And then he's like, "Oh, you know what? I don't like the way this cavity looks. You should come into the office."
No.
The offices. No, okay, well,
I want to
give
buy
me $1 million. We'll install something in your basement that you'll use once.
Yeah, let's do that. $1 million.
Shit,
one.
You asshole.
It really
donate some money
matter.
To charity.
All right.
Guy's wagging his tail.
All the way to the bank.
You waste money.
How did you get it to be waggable? If it's just fat, how is it? What is it connected to?
I twitch my tailbone.
My coccyx.
I shake my tail feather. That's what I do.
What is this podcast?
Yeah, I mean, so far we haven't given any indication at all.
It's an advice podcast. People in sticky situations, difficult places in their lives, email us at ifiwereyoushow@gmail.com. We read these emails and do our best to advise them out of their terrible, terrible dilemmas.
Good fucking intro, dude.
Really?
I really like it.
Dilemmas was not on purpose. Yeah. Like, I know you think I misspoke or like I can already read the tweets and stuff, but I know that I was just trying to like sort of coolly say dilemma.
That's also that's how you say directions too.
Oh yeah.
Like, yeah, do you have the directions?
Oh, you're saying that's how
yeah,
I
that's
say
how you say it.
Oh, instead of directions?
Yeah.
I say directions. Yeah. I also say Maryland or Italian.
Really?
Yeah, Maryland.
I said that exact same thing this past week. I was like, they should call Maryland Maryland.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's nicer.
Maybe my weird accent is seeping into your subconscious.
Maybe so. You're whispering Maryland into my ear as I sleep.
Yeah. I'll stop doing that.
Yeah, you don't need to anymore. It's in there. It works.
Okay. So I'll stop. I already said I would stop.
Okay. That's not trying enough. To put you on blast.
I know.
It's been a minute since you were put on blast, actually.
It's been more than a minute. I have water coming out of my hair because I heard the shower dripping, so I went to turn it off, but I turned it in the wrong way, and I just soaked my entire left side of my body. And now I just still have water coming off of my...
That's comedy.
Yeah.
Comedy is tragedy plus time.
Yeah, plus Time Magazine specifically. Actually, tragedy is Time plus Mad Magazine. Imagine that. That would be funny.
Wow.
Alfred E. Newman as Person of the Year? I'm laughing, thinking about it.
Holy shit, let me see that notebook you have. You directed the conversation at this point just so you could make that one joke, and it wasn't even good.
Tragedy is National Geographic plus Cracked. All right, let's give these real people fake names to preserve their anonymity.
Very, very nice.
Do we have someone?
A theme of sorts?
A Thursday theme, a bonus Thursday thematic element to this?
Oh, bonus.
Oh, theme. Bonus.
Bonus.
You know what that makes me thinking of?
What?
The bonus Jonas.
Frankie Jonas.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah.
Frankie Jonas.
Writes.
Hey, guys, I love your show, and I really need your help. All right, right off the bat, so far, so good.
Love it.
My girlfriend is a solid 11 out of 10, and recently she went to a festival. Nothing big happened, no cheating or whatever, but she did take a lot of MDMA. Nothing un-Gucci with that. But it's how she takes it with her friends.
8 out of the 12 members of their group are male, and they're the ones that who seem to buy the drugs. They give my girlfriend the drugs via their finger, which she licks clean. If you were me, would you find that to be a bit too sexual? I can't get the image out of my head. She thinks licking guys' fingers is normal, but I can't imagine any guy getting licked by a hot girl thinking she's not into them. Am I being a silly goose? Talk me into some sense. Peace. Frankie Jonas? Is that what he said?
I think that's the bonus Jonas.
All right, Frankie Jonas. That's a good question.
Yeah, it's very specifically hard.
Yeah.
Because it seems...
Because it's making me hard to think
shit.
Of it.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Your dick is so small. That's it hard, huh?
It's a fucking double A.
Full mass.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, because my as you're reading, my reaction is like, oh, you idiots. It's so small. But then I'm like, yeah.
A hot girl licking MDMA off a guy's finger is, like, not nothing.
I guess it's not. It's so weird, though, because, like, how upset can you really... Like, she says it's no big deal?
Yeah, she's like, why is it a big deal that I take drugs? This is how everyone takes them. It doesn't mean that I love you any less.
Oh, is he candy dipping? Is that what it is?
I don't know, man. She's licking them off a finger.
It's a difference. If it's a tab and he just, like... puts a pill on his finger and he's like sexy, like, oh, lick this off. If it's candy dipping, like, you almost have to lick his finger.
Yeah.
But she could use her own finger.
I think the way you have to do it is that, like, the guy wets his dick, right? And he dips his dick into the sugar.
That'll get you rolling.
Yeah.
And that's how you really roll.
As a goof, I sort of insert the drug penis in vaginally. That way it hits your bloodstream the fastest.
That's true. And yeah. It gives you a yeast infection.
It hitches a ride on an old sperm trains mobile, and then it just goes right into you. And then as soon as it hits your uterus, God. That's when you start rolling.
Talking about
most.
A high school girl at a rave, whoa. Buddy. Buddy.
Oh.
You're puking.
Shit. I'm so sorry.
Here, give me your finger.
No.
Let's see how sexual it is.
You want to lick it?
Yeah, give me your finger.
It's disgusting.
No, it's not.
I wouldn't lick my own finger.
Let me see your finger.
No.
Are you serious?
What? You
it's me doing the licking. Stick it out, and then you'll tell me if it felt sexual.
Which finger?
Your index finger.
Get off me, dude.
You really won't let me do it.
What, you're going to lick my own index finger?
Yeah.
You don't know what I've been touching. I turned the shower handle.
That's the cleanest place you can touch.
All right.
I would say I wonder how she did it. All right. I'm going to do
it. We can wonder without doing it.
No, yeah, I'm going to do it.
Look, I'm wondering right now. I'm not sucking
Well, I'm
going to
show you the two ways she could have done it. One of which was innocuous, the other which is sexual. Give me your penis. I mean, your hand.
Pinky. Finger. Penis. Dick. Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right. Oh, okay. So what you just did was...
Oh, it was disgusting!
That one was like using my finger almost like as a swab, like you're cleaning your tongue.
Yeah, it was like a stamp.
Yeah, you're scraping the pad of my index finger against the top of
and
your mouth.
And the other one I'd actually, to be perfectly honest, I'm a little disgusted myself for doing the first one.
Yeah.
And,
Especially because you're a little sick right now.
Yeah, I'm a little sick. It's also just a little strange that we're alone. We're both shirtless wearing matching sweatshorts.
Somebody just like, oh, wait, hey, I know those guys. There's dear God.
Okay, yeah, so that was one way to do it.
Microphone's not plugged into anything.
I guess I would like clarification as to, I would be like, lick my finger the way you licked his.
Yeah. And what if she's like, no, that's fucking gross.
She's like, no, it was it's so sexual.
I would never do that to you. We're not there yet.
Yeah, like, no, because I'm not turned on by you. I guess maybe I'd be more like disconcerted by the actual, like, you know, the big picture thing, like that she went to this rave without you, wanted to take drugs and like ingested them in a sexy way.
It's like a lot of half things. Like going to a concert with 8 guy friends isn't necessarily bad. Doing drugs without you isn't necessarily bad. Sucking on a finger isn't necessarily bad.
I would say that's maybe a little necessarily bad.
But the whole thing together, like it starts to add up. Like 3/3 discretions makes one whole.
Right. And the other thing I've always said about relationships, it's like it doesn't really necessarily matter if you're right or wrong. If you like have these feelings and you're upset and anxious and sad, and you express that to somebody and they're not
responsive.
At least, yeah, just like, I'm sorry that you feel bad, and like, you know what, it didn't mean anything to me, but going forward I'll act differently.
Right.
Because it can't be important to her that she keeps licking guys' fingers.
Right. Unless it's like a trust thing, like, don't you trust me?
I guess you could be like, yeah, I trust that you won't lick anybody else's hands. I don't think it's a big ask. I don't think it's a big ask is what I'll say. Well, I don't, I'm not sure how I'd react, but yeah. I think if it upsets you and you're like, don't do this again, and she's like, I'm not making any promises, then it's so weird. Because what, do you break up over it? No. But you also, it's like kind of hard to move past if you're like, I don't want you to do that again. She's like, no, I might. And I'm like, ah.
Now what else are you going to do?
Darn it.
What would you do if that happened to you? Have a lady friend. She goes to a concert with a bunch of her dudes. She takes ecstasy, which makes you already feel very like open and sexually provocative, right? There is a sexual element to it.
I don't know about sexual. Maybe so. I think it's beyond sexual, at least when I've done it. It's like, it's complete euphoria and you just are in love with everything.
Right.
Drugs are bad, but it's like the most amazing feeling. But drugs are bad. But it's like, whoa, I'm just happy.
And you just can't attain that naturally.
Connected, a level of connectedness.
Yeah,
that
more than you would like exercise.
Possible. Never do this amazing drug. Yeah. They're bad.
Right. But it's like better than any hike, better than any friend, better than any meal you can share with a loved
one. Imagine simultaneously coming as somebody that you're absolutely in love with, and imagine doing that with 1,000 people that you love even more than you love that person. That's ecstasy, okay, dude?
Yeah.
No, that's not true. I think...
But there's a downside to it.
Well, yeah.
One, you can overdose and die.
Yeah.
We should say that.
Two, it releases all of your happy at once. Yeah. So the next day, you're very sad. And for several days, you feel like off balance. And I think if you do it enough, it definitely fucks with you.
Right.
I don't do it anymore. But there, like last year, I did it. And like at a certain point, I felt like I needed it to like heighten experiences. I wasn't getting as happy as I should when good things were good.
Right.
Because you're like,
I can feel a bigger swing.
But I can like heighten this. I can feel even happier. And that's, and now that I'm like, don't do it at all anymore, I completely disagree with that mentality.
You can do that just with, you know, your simple other pills.
If I smoke enough weed and chug whiskey, and I listen to like a Kendrick Lamar song, I'm like, fuck yeah, dude. Gotta poop a little and dive in and poop a little. So sorry, I went on a tangent. If it happened to me, was that the question?
Yeah.
If it happened to me,
what would you say? What would you do?
I think I'd be licking the finger takes a back seat to the idea of like going somewhere to a concert with 8 other guys and doing ecstasy, which is something, it's a drug that makes you feel in love with other people.
Right, connected.
Yeah.
Emotionally.
So I would be so conflicted because I don't want to impede anybody's good time, but I think I would probably be upset. I would vocalize that to my partner. I would say, I feel like you had an experience without me, and you licked somebody's hand, and that makes me feel sad. And you can do with that information what you want. I sure do hope it's you apologizing and saying you won't do ecstasy with 8 other dudes, go to concerts without me, and lick their fingers. What about you? What would you do?
I guess I would make it known that it also creeped me out. Maybe I would do the little ones that add up to a big bad one, that little spiel. That way it's like, all right, if you want to do this again, maybe have me there, or maybe don't do the drugs, or maybe when you take it, you don't have to take it off someone's finger.
Or just text me. I'll come put the drugs on my finger. Yeah. You lick my finger, and then I'll leave.
I'll peace out. I guess we...
Hey, guys, just came to put the drugs on my finger.
Was this guy...
Have fun.
Was this guy invited? I wonder if he was invited and he didn't want to go, or if he just lives in a different city.
Right, or like he begged to go and they said no.
Right, or she told him.
Wait, so it's just her and 8 guys?
No, a group of 12, but 8 of them are guys.
Oh, I see. I don't know, because it's also weird to just not trust people's guy friends.
Right, you don't want to get in that scary situation.
Right, because once you start being like, oh man, I don't trust these eight dudes, they're all trying to fuck you, then you're, that's like a weird self-fulfilling prophecy.
Right, because then it's like, why would I want to stay with you? You're just paranoid and mean.
Yeah, you're paranoid, jealous,
I want to be with this guy who's like cool at the moment. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, he's not jealous at all until you're with him, and then he's insanely jealous.
But as of now, he's down. He thinks you're down to be like meddled with.
Right, he's not possessive at all.
Yeah, it's weird. All right, if it bothers you, let her know is what we would do.
Yeah, I would say something.
All right, what's another Jonas Brother name so that we can get to the second question?
Jeez, I don't know.
The Jonas Brothers.
We only know the non singing Jonas Brother,
Frankie. I'm going to look it up.
Oh, fuck. I should know one. Lucas.
Oh, no. Nick. Now that I told you one, you can, do you know the other one?
Nick. There's two more.
Yeah.
Nick Jonas. Joe Jonas.
Yes.
Tom Jonas.
Kevin.
Kevin.
All right. So this one's from Nick Jonas. Nick Jonas writes, hey guys, I have a problem that weirdly gets in the way of having a social life. My name is unusual. I've always dreaded
it's Nick fucking Jonas.
I've always dreaded introducing myself to new people because merely saying my long and exotic name sounds like a bunch of sounds haphazardly thrown together to my American peers. People at my high school only see me as that foreign guy, even though I was born and raised in the States. Even worse, I've struggled to get my D wet via my female peers. How many white girls have you met who dated people named Asir or Gebre Selassie or Hakim? I digress. Do you have any friends with unusual or foreign names? How do they confidently put themselves out there when a lot of people are giant assholes about it? Thanks, guys. Love, Joe or Nick Jonas. Is this guy assuming that my name is normal?
Wait, can you just tell me his name and we'll bleep it?
Yeah. His name is It's like a African sounding name.
Very funny.
Yeah.
Hilarious name even.
It's not as different as like Gebre Selassie, which I think is a long distance runner from Ethiopia, or Hakim. Although his first example is, how many white girls do you know have dated people named Asir? That's so close to my name.
Yeah.
He must know that I'm named me.
And you've dated white girls.
Is my name more normal?
Why does he need to date white girls?
I don't know. Maybe that's the only people he's surrounded with. Does he know? Does he think my name is normal? Or
you're getting really hung up on this.
Does he love me?
You're just as petty as he is. I want to help you, bro, but first you got to tell me I have a normal name, and thus I am a normal guy.
Well, he thinks
who can bone whiteies.
Do I get a pass because my name is Amir and not Asir?
Dude, your name is Amir Shmuel.
Yeah.
And you make it work for you.
But how?
I think, he must be in high school, right?
Yeah, or early college.
Like, you got to make those, that's a cool name. You make it work for you.
Yeah.
You have, like, something that nobody else has, a cool foreign name. That's awesome.
What about a cool nickname? So, for example, when your name is Gebre Selassie?
You nodded like you were agreeing with me, and then you took another route. I was saying, it's a cool name. You got to work for it. Be proud of yourself. And Amir's naughty. Like, yeah. A nickname would also work.
Yeah, change it.
Like Ted or Ryan. Why don't you call yourself Ryan as a nickname?
Not really a nick as much as it is a completely diff. So instead of a nickname, I'm choosing a pseudoname, different name, an Americanized whiter name.
So yeah, just go by your middle name. Go by a nickname.
Yeah,
you could always do that.
If anything, weird names are cooler, right?
I agree.
Yeah.
I think it'll put you at an advantage.
In the long run.
Definitely.
Especially if your name is Gebre Selassie, which, once again, I think is a distance running champion.
What about Asir?
Asir, I don't know where that one comes from, but Hakim Olajuwon. I don't think the Dream had problems hooking up with white babes.
Yeah, dude. Swoosh.
Yeah.
Swoosh.
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 Swoosh. 20 minutes.
Swoosh. Swoosh. Fuck, dude.
No, we got to go one for every make in his career. 11,000. Jesus Christ, you got to be shitting me. cool nickname based on your name. I'm not saying hide from it.
Or, I mean, why not just go by the Flash or Laser?
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
As long as you're making shit up. Yeah, Laser's dude. Nice.
They call me Rocksteady.
Cool. Or, so let's say your name was Gabriel Selassie. What would you tell people to call you?
Gabe.
Hakeem?
Hack.
Gabe. And Asir?
Gabe.
So basically, our bit of advice is to change your name to Gabe.
All right. This podcast has officially been named Gabe.
The coolest name you can give something.
Hey, guys, I'm Gabe.
Gabe is so... I'm also Gabe. Gabe is so cool of a name, we're naming our episode after it because, you know, we can sort of choose any name we want, and we choose Gabe.
We're the Gabe brothers.
Well, when you say it like that, it sounds not like
no,
that.
No, man, I'm Gabe for you, you're Gabe for me, we're Gabe for each other. Okay. We're the Gabe brothers. We're Gabe brothers.
Yeah, and we're Gabe brothers.
What?
There's nothing Gabe about it. We're just two men acting and being fully gay.
Oh my God, we're children. We're children.
Hey, lick my finger again like that Gabe that you were doing earlier.
Oh no.
Anything else to tell this dude?
I think embrace it, nickname. Those are the two options. What more could there be?
Don't do drugs.
Yeah, I didn't mean to make Molly sound like it was the best drug in the world. Please don't do it.
Yeah.
Not at my behest. Please do never try it.
That being said.
Well, I'm like one of those alcoholics that comes to talk at school.
Yeah.
My word means something because I lived the life.
I've been there.
All right. I hit rock bottom, but I climbed out of the well, didn't I?
Actually, you have a good story about it on Streeter's podcast, which we can plug right now, the Talk of Shame.
Yeah.
Streeter is a podcast. Our friend Streeter, you guys know him. If you go to talkofshameshow.com, I think. I did an episode. Jake did an episode. You're just comedians talking about their most embarrassing story. And Jake's is about MDMA.
And yours is about skinny dipping.
Would you say MDMA didn't have you feeling like a champion?
Definitely not the next day. There was a time where I felt like I could take on the world and perhaps win. Or at least I could have been a contender.
It certainly is a dangerous delusion of grandeur.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a devil in the morning.
What if you took...
I'm a king at night.
Aren't there like people that take it every single day? Like if you don't have anything left to give, all your happy juices are out. Does it just not do anything?
I'm sure it does. Maybe it just releases what little you have. I know they rebuild. Maybe they start to... I don't know. I remember you showed me actually once the like an AMA about it.
Oh yeah, an MDMA about an AMA about an MDMA.
Yeah,
an MDMA.
And he was saying there were studies where people were doing it every single day.
Yeah, like microdosing,
and that it was okay.
I've been like sort of ever since I learned about like the thing how like it like anatomically like releases happy juice. Like I've been noticing like throughout the day where I like get a rush of that naturally.
Oh, where you feel happy juice coming to you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like just a surge of joy.
Yeah.
Of course, all the time.
What is that? How do you cause that?
For me, it's as simple as a sunset or when a baby smiles at me.
All right.
When I look out at the ocean and I see the tide coming in and I say, that's constant.
Yeah.
That's forever. That's unchanging. When I'm masturbating to Isis Taylor or Alexis Texas, somebody with a huge ass, and I squeeze my penis so hard that it ejaculates. I feel the happy juice come over my brain and out of my body. And
yeah,
tell you what, sometimes when I'm hiking through the mountains, and I'm just coming through that green pass into that open pasture, and I sit down on my phone and I load xshare.com and I look up a picture of Christina Rose or Isis Taylor again.
Yeah,
somebody with a huge ass, and I sit down and I masturbate. That'll make me feel really happy. It's the simple things. It's little things. Watching a bird fly overhead. Seeing a dog happily wag its tail running up to its owner saying, I appreciate you and you appreciate me. And sometimes it's printing out a picture of Isis Taylor's ass and just going to town ravaging my own cock. And, you know, just...
It's happening right now.
Squeezing my dick.
Just you at a dog park with a printed out picture of Isis Taylor. The first
just more and more rudimentary ways to jerk off to
1991 pornography. I remember my brother, when I was too young to even know what porn was, he was like in maybe fourth or fifth grade. Like, he figured out how to like get nude black and white photos from the internet, and he printed one out and like brought it to school, and it was just like a picture, a printed out photo of a woman's boobies.
Fucking magic, dude.
That's the constant ocean. That's the mountain hike.
You can always masturbate, folks.
Yeah. We're talking about a different type of happy juice, though. The one that doesn't come out of your urethra.
Right.
All right. Third question?
Third question.
Third question. Yeah, I'm different. Third question. Yeah, I'm different. Joe Jonas. Hey guys, I've been going to this coffee shop with a friend, and we've both fallen in love with one of the cute baristas. She always talks to us and draws crazy stuff on our coffees. The last time we went, I ordered the usual mocha, and she couldn't think of what to draw, so she drew me in my coffee, beard and all, with what I believe were hearts as eyes. She even offered to send me a picture of it so she could so I could have her number. But in my nervousness, me and my friend just gave her compliments and left. I know this sounds awesome, but here's the catch. I'm 18, and she's probably in her 20s. I'm under the impression that my beard makes me look much older, and when this seductress finds out my age, I'll be ruined. What? Should I forget all that and just ask for her number? Or should I just forget it and go to college in 3 weeks? With love, Joe Jonas. P.S. This is the coffee.
Oh, man, that's pretty cool.
We'll post this picture on our website.
Yeah, that's awesome. It looks kind of like you.
Yeah. what should he do?
Well, he's putting all that on her right now. Like, you don't want to be with me because I'm 18 and you're in your 20s.
Yeah.
She doesn't know how old you are, so you don't know how old she is, buddy.
Oh, what if she's 18?
Why don't you at least find out, because then you'll know. Just like, ask for a number. You guys are texting. You guys are chatting. If it comes up, it comes up. If it doesn't, hey, maybe she doesn't even want to know. Maybe she thinks you might be young, but she thinks you're cute. You don't know what she's thinking. She doesn't know what you're thinking, but she drew a picture of you in the coffee, so let's exchange numbers and see if you can exchange fluids. You know what I'm saying? Hey!
He's dead. His last words were the Kanye hey for what seemed like 6 seconds. Oh god, here come the crab claws. Like Jesus being lifted up to the crucifix, the claws are coming out in a t-shirt.
People still designing t-shirts. I'd like a picture of me on the cross, crab clawed.
Terrible picture, or terrible t-shirt, but I would like to see that art. We have talented fans. Make it happen, people. Here's the thing, dude. It is so rare in life that someone you think is cute actually flirts with you. You got to strike now. Especially if you're going to college in 3 weeks. You got to get this positive momentum going into college.
That's true.
You don't know when this will ever happen again.
Or you, like, I think that's great because you can either go out on a win or go out on a loss. And you'll either way, you're going to feel fresh and new when you get to college.
Right.
You're like, fuck, I lost that one. Fresh start. Here we go. We're like, fuck, I went out on a high note. Here we go. Let's do it.
And at the very least, you have this cute photo of you drawn in coffee. What is this, chocolate?
I also kind of feel like people are so nervous that they will like do anything to convince themselves that they're not being flirted with.
Right.
Oh, that girl made eyes at me. No, she didn't. No, she didn't. I'm not going to go over there. I'm not
talking. Yeah, stupid.
Like, oh, that guy, he just checked me out. No. No, he wasn't looking at me.
Right. Maybe he was just doing that because of this, or like he's just acting friendly because like that's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah. Why don't you just always assume that people are going to really like you until they give you a very clear sign that they don't have time, and then you just retreat.
Yeah.
But you should always operate under the assumption that you're good.
Here's a good rejection story. This could lead into our break. We were in Montreal last weekend for the comedy festival. We went out and we were dancing, and at one point these two girls were dancing next to us, and it felt like they were looking at us, and I couldn't tell if they were looking at us in a happy way or like an annoyed way. But I was like, I might as well just go for it, say something and see what happens. And so I went over there and I was like, I know it looks very intimidating to dance with us because we're really good. And then she's like, yeah, no, that's not what I was thinking. And then they walked away.
Oh.
So that's an example of when it didn't work.
Right, but that's funny. Now yeah. You have that as a fun story. back to the loving embrace of your dancing friends.
Right. The good thing about that is that no one knew, and I didn't have to tell anyone. I just sort of lived with that quiet shame for probably the next 11 days.
Oh, no. Are you feeling better about it now?
No.
Well, think about like all the times that you hit on somebody and it works.
Yeah. I mean, you have to try. That's something I'm not good at either, is like biting the bullet and talking to ladies. I usually have my friends do it for me.
Right. I'm also a lay in wait guy. Yeah. I can't go up and like say something. That's so hard.
But I'm good at like being the guy next to the guy that does that.
Yeah, totally. That's great.
Yeah.
I remember when I was in eighth grade, we went on a field trip to New York City.
The Big Apple.
And one of my friends named James, we were passing like a group of girls from like another field trip.
Right.
And they were walking and like he had been like, he was kind of cute. He was like winking at girls all day and they're like, just thought he was sexy. And I tried it. I was like, hey. And then this girl just goes, you ugly. Oh, no. I wish I never said anything.
Especially not a hey.
Hey ladies, you're ugly. Okay.
That's like that's the one traumatic moment that like now I will never talk to anyone again.
I think it shaped the way I talk to girls for the rest of my life.
Right.
If I say
hey, they'll yell you're ugly.
That reminds me, did we give this guy advice? Because it reminded me of another funny story that happened in Montreal.
I think we both say go for it.
All right, great. Do you remember my brother was in Montreal?
Mm-hmm.
So my younger brother was there with his
Micah, we've had him on the show.
Micah was there with his 9 friends.
Yeah, which is always fun to go around trying to get 9 people into a bar at once.
9 guys into a club.
Yeah.
So the first
There's
night,
no easier task.
The first night we were there, I waited in line with them. We went up to the bar. We went up to the bouncer, and he just looked at me, and I was like, yeah, you know, what's up? He's like, yeah, it's not going to happen tonight. It's like, there's no way we could, like, our friends are up there. I don't know what's going on. Like, we could just go in. He's like, not a chance. Like, all right. That felt like saying you're ugly to me. So they didn't go that night, and you came out and you got me in. And the next night, they went very early because they wanted to go to this exact same bar.
Which is smart.
So
they got there at like 9.
They still weren't allowed in. But this time they were with 2 girls. And they were like, they forgot her purse upstairs. Can we all go check? And they let a bunch of them upstairs to go look for this girl's purse under the guise of looking for this purse. Micah ducked under the rope and followed them in. So he texted me this... I want to find the exact exchange. This is pretty great.
Why did he duck under a rope if he said he had to go look for a purse?
Well, there was 9 of them. So they let some of, like, a swath of them up, and then, like, Micah ducked under the rope to sneak in, just to go along with his friends. So, sorry, excuse me.
You're crying.
So he texts at 9:41, at apartment 200. That was the bar.
Yeah.
9:41, at apartment 200. 9:47, 6 minutes later, LOL, got kicked out. I texted him back right away. Ha 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 ha, what, why? Text me back. Long story. Text me back at 7:02, 12 minutes later. Got back in, exclamation point. Pretty dope turnout if you want to come through.
Wait, 7:02 as in 10:02 p.m.
Oh yeah, sorry, 10:02. Yeah.
Right.
All right.
East Coast time.
So he had gotten kicked out for, they like found him sneaking under the velvet rope, brought him back out, kicked him out, wouldn't let him in. And apparently he went back to the bouncer and he was just like, I'm sorry, I was dishonest. All of my friends are inside. I don't know what else to do.
You have to let me
in. They took pity on him. They let him in.
Wow.
So later on we got there and at this bar, one of the people who ran it was like a College Humor fan, and he came up and he like bought us shots, and another one of the managers came around and found me. He was like, hey, I run this place, like, we're glad that you're here. They were like, I think they were just like treating comedians well who were in town for the festival,
right?
And he was like, my name's Frank, let's take a shot together. I was like, all right, cool. We walked over to the bar to take this shot, and as we were walking out, my brother Micah came out of the bathroom. And I was like, oh, Frank, this is my little brother, Micah. And Frank is the guy that kicked him out before. He's like, your brother's a limbo artist.
But I love him to death.
And so we took the shot. They, like, shook hands. And then I saw them having a conversation. I went and found you. Then I hadn't seen Micah for a while. I went back to the bar to try to find him. He was just there, arms around... Frank had their arms around each other. They were taking another shot, and he looked at me. He was like, you have to take this shot for me. His eyes just like glossing over. So I grabbed the shot, and immediately, right as I took it from him, the bartender poured another one, put it down right in front of him.
God.
And Micah just shut his eyes. He was like, he was done.
Micah and Frank.
The limbo artist.
Micah, if you're listening to this, I know you aren't. We miss you.
Poetic justice. Yeah. Felt like poetic justice.
We should say that Micah died that night. That was like big story.
I did wake up both nights in Montreal like hoping that he didn't die. Because both nights I left him and he was just drunk.
We survived.
He lived to see another day.
20-year-olds are very resilient.
He's 21.
Mm. He's fucked. All right, last question real quick.
Right quick. 0 to 100.
Real quick. Oh, also, tickets still available for our show and our live podcast in London. More info on our website. So if you're in London,
go.
Yeah, we'd love to see you there. It's going to be It is an 800-person theater, which imagine doing a podcast in front of 800 people.
That'd be so fun.
That'll definitely be a record for me.
Yeah. Our biggest crowd was like 200.
Yeah. This is at least 30 times that.
Oh.
Last one is Kevin Jonas writes, "Hey guys, big fan, and surprisingly, I'm not a 15-year-old boy. I'm a 23-year-old girl in my first ever relationship, and I need your help.
All right.
I've been dating my boyfriend for about 2 months, and we've been extremely close, like as close as couples who have dated for a year. Well, recently we were talking about when we first started hanging out. We had sex the first night, and he asked if that was a normal thing for me. My tipsy self decided that this was a good time to reveal that I've had my fair share of one-night stands in college. This made him second-guess our relationship, and he says he can't trust me now. I'm 100% committed to him, but he says it will take a while to earn back his trust. So I guess my question is, how can I reassure him that I'm not a cheater and to fix this new view of me as a total slut? Also, why do girls get in so much trouble for a little sex in the past while guys are applauded? Help me out with that one, Jake. Thanks. Kevinia Jonas."
Is she saying that I would never not applaud somebody who had sex in the past?
Male or female?
I think it's beautiful.
See, this guy, this asshole turd boyfriend is what we don't want
The guy is cool. Yeah. The guy is neat. You got to admit that.
He's got to earn her trust back. He slept with someone. She retroactively cheated on him. Yeah. Sure, not after they were going out, but before.
Right. You remember back before they even met each other when she slept with someone?
That's cheating.
That's unlawful.
You got to re-earn my trust.
And it's going to take some fucking time. You better commit your past self to me and me only.
I really hope that your past self will somehow go back in time and unsleep with those people.
Baby, would you tell me you're a virgin? Would you mind terribly telling me you're a virgin and actually meaning it?
Yeah.
You can't just lie to me.
I want you to go back, Marty McFly style, and kill your former lovers one by one. Actually, this is a great movie idea. It's called The Terrible Boyfriend. Back to the Future, Part 4.
So you're saying this guy gives guys a bad name?
Well, this guy gives guys... We don't want that first guy who's like, you can't lick other guys' fingers, to be like, this guy's like, you can't have slept with other guys right. In the past. Like, we don't want guys to be jealous and say you have to earn my trust back.
We get a lot of questions from jealous guys, and guys are also the ones with the most abhorrent behavior. And girls, I'm not going to say always, but by and large, at least from our emails, are the ones who are on better behavior asking questions like this. I am committed to him. How do I prove that to him?
Yeah.
When you shouldn't have to.
Yeah,
just because you had one night stands before you guys knew each other.
Back before you knew, that's the Wild West. Doesn't matter. Anything goes. That doesn't mean anything. You don't have to re-earn his trust. You haven't done anything bad.
Right. I don't know.
This guy's a turd Ferguson.
So
this
but
is
also
what you
like,
say. You say, hey, I haven't done anything to lose your trust, so I don't need to re-earn my trust. If anything, you have to now re-earn my trust because it's become clear to me that you're a doof.
Yeah.
You're a mean doof.
But think about where this is coming from. It's a place of insecurity, doubt. He's not feeling very worthy. He's not feeling good about himself.
He was
he
this
feels
girl's
like
white
these,
night stand.
These other guys diminished him. And I know that you know that they haven't. We all know that's not the case. But if you want to placate him, which I'm not saying you do, you could say something along the lines of, this happened before I met you. You can trust me. I love you. You only. and that's all you should have to do. Right. Like, if you want to be open and direct with him and tell him how you really feel, which it sounds like you're saying, I want you to know that I'm committed, but I do not think that you should lose the you know, the angle of unimpeachable integrity, in that you haven't cheated on him, you just slept with people before you even knew he existed.
Right. That's,
he should know that this is, it's a big ask. He shouldn't feel like he's in the right. If anything, he should be groveling, being like, I feel weak and sad, and will you please just tell me things are going to be okay? I know I'm a coward and a loser, but just tell me you really like me and that nobody else was good at sex. I don't even care if it's true. Just tell me, make me feel better.
I want to be the best.
And then you can treat him like the baby that he is. But if he wants to be treated like an adult, then he can't say that you have to earn his trust.
Yeah, that's such a dick thing to say.
It's just weird. I think a lot of guys, when they get insecure, he wants to like elevate himself. Like, yeah. You must earn my trust. But right. Like, what's going on in his body is like his dick is shriveled and his heart's broken. Yeah. He's like, earn my trust, you little floozy. But he's like, oh, shit.
Love me. It's like Calvin saying that to his dad. You have to earn my respect. It's like, no, I don't. I'm the adult and you're the little baby boy. I don't like this guy. Or you could just play him this part of the podcast and be like, see, these guys think you're wrong, right. And I'm right.
Yeah, he's wrong. But a big part of it is understanding where it's coming from, and not that it's like, he's not necessarily evil, just very, very misguided.
Also, why do girls get so much trouble for having sex in the past while guys are applauded?
I don't know. Isn't that... that's like an age-old problem.
Right. I say we stop that right now. We start applauding everyone for having sex in the past.
Yeah, as long as it's not hurting anybody. Having sex in the past, that's great. Good.
Yeah.
Good for you.
In fact, let's make it better for girls than for guys. That way we sort of even the playing field historically.
Let us be the first to offer this round of applause for anybody who's gotten laid. A round of applause is both of us clapping, dude. 1, 2, 3. Very toda.
All right, let's...
hard to clap with these pinchers I got here.
Just the sound of two plastic claws hitting each other. Yeah, that's our time. That's more than our time. Thank you so much to everybody that wrote in. Oh, also, did I say... Oh, yeah, we did. Kylie wrote that opening theme song. If this is your first episode, just know that we open and close every episode with original theme songs written by you. That's right. You can submit your own theme song and send it to ifireyoushow@gmail.com. That first one is written by Kylie, and this last one was written by Max Trippenbach.
All right, Maxie. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. We'll be back on Monday. Peace.
Okay. If I were you, the show, it's a podcast, motherfucker. Every Monday, so you just need to know it's about to show for the radio. Swimming, so much pussy like Michael Phelps. Hey. I mean, look at yourself. Do you need some help? Good, cause that's just where they excel. Pick you up if you fell. Snail trail, that's no. Ugh, two smart quirky Jews giving you an excuse to get loose till you bruise, or maybe get some booze. I even light a fuse. Yeah, fuck it. You're listening to If I Were You. Okay. You're listening to If I Were You.